Welcome everybody to week 8 of the Westford Fantasy Football Podcast. Great guest this week, Devin. How you doing?
So excited to be here. Very excited.
I can tell.
What a week.
What a week, right? There's a little bit of some interesting goings on in the league. You found yourself in the middle of a couple of them.
I have. I mean, probably one of the worst wins of all time. What was it, 68-66?
No one wants
to win that way.
I think that is. If you listen to a previous podcast, I went through like the 10 worst performances of all time.
I did, and I thought it was interesting that A, I don't think I was in one of them.
No.
And B, that this came so hot on the heels of that podcast. So
yeah, but you
these are very prescient, man. You're like predicting the future here.
You both narrowly missed that list, but you played each other.
That's amazing.
And you got that precious third win, which puts you right there. I mean, there are 7 teams in this league that either have 2 or 3 wins. So how are you feeling about that?
It feels good. You know, I mean, it's always good to be in something. It's always better to be in than out, I always say. But you know, it's an interesting dynamic within that group too, because obviously I'm on the bottom of the barrel of those with the fewest points scored out of them. There is a bit of parity as far as the points scored goes, except for you. There's an interesting dynamic of the teams of who's buying and who's selling. You know, whereas you find yourself lower in the standings, but you've gone from selling to buying. And I think that's totally fair. I think you've got a great team to make that happen. So
I don't know. I'm very erratic.
Well, I don't know where I am either. It's tough being 3-4 this year because you're at this crossroads. So I don't envy myself or any of the other 3-4s or 2-5s for that matter.
Yeah, well, we were talking when we were talking about our trade. I was like, where's your team at? Are you do you think you're buying or selling? And I feel like you're still not quite sure.
Yeah, still not quite sure. You know, I think maybe another week will tell. Like if I bomb again this week, then it may be time to completely divest. But you know, I've been in a situation before for years, for the past few years, where I've like kind of sold off my star power a bit. You know, Dez Bryant will go out and then I've lost everything basically. And I think it's a league where you kind of need something. You know, it really helps to have an Ezekiel Elliott who gets 40 every now and then to put up big numbers, or Deshaun Watson, anything like that really helps, goes a long way. So I try to hold on to those, but I think with the new keeper rules, which we can talk more about later, I think they really lend themselves to maybe selling off all your talent and getting more top round picks next year.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens with this draft, because there is going to be so much talent available, and it's tough to know who's going to have what pick with, like we said, the bottom 7 teams all being within a game of each other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Speaking of where everyone's ranked, I asked you to bring in your own personal power rankings. I think everyone's sick of hearing what I have to say, so I thought it'd be interesting if you, Devin, did this for me.
I'll lead the way. Feel free to chime in whenever you want to.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Now, I did them, you know, I try to be responsible here and do some chalk where I see chalk fit, but there's some shakeups in the power rankings. Number one, it's Steve Stambik. He's got a great team. I've got him at 100% odds to make the playoffs. I've got him at 40% odds to make glory this year and to
make,
win that title.
Okay, so you mean win.
Make love to glory.
Make
I
love,
guess.
Okay. Yeah. Stick up his butt, you know, whatever he wants to do with it. Just don't add a stupid red ribbon to it.
He's, you know, his team is obviously in great shape, but, I don't think he'll end as the best team that's ever played in the league, personally, this year.
No.
That's not to say it's not a great team.
No, but I mean, with so many mediocre teams, it becomes a great team by comparison.
Right. You know, the separation is pretty impressive. I think obviously Zeke Elliott's the big question mark there. Yeah, you know, I just think that there's a good chance that he's gone for our playoffs, and I think Steve's aware of that too.
I know. Steve's got to hope that he gets suspended now versus later.
Right. And just get a couple weeks out of him. I thought it was an interesting move. He's trying to move Lutz, his kicker. So I thought that was an interesting move. I will see if it works out for him. I might be in the market. I've been known to acquire kickers in the past.
You've been known to have two kickers on your team. So
I actually had three kickers on my team at one point. So you can never count out the folklore to be a kicking machine.
I didn't know that, but that's amazing.
I did, yeah. So number two, I've got Katie, actually.
Okay.
So she's number three in the standings, and I'll get to why D has fallen a little bit. Obviously, a tough week for her. But Katie, I've got her at 80% chance to make playoffs, 20% chance to win glory. Right. She's got a machine of Brady, Hill, Evans, Fournette, and Brandon McManus. You can't count him out, obviously.
obviously.
You got to put your best foot forward. And it's a solid team. It's just it's consistency across the board there, I think. Fournette's proven himself. Number three, I've got Marissa, 70% chance to make playoffs, 10% to win glory. Will Martavis Bryant get traded? I assume, I didn't check on it, but I think she kept him, I think, pretty early, if I remember correctly.
She got him in the seventh. And she did not keep him, so he would be a sixth next year.
Okay, so that's not too bad. So if he, you know, gets traded and becomes a primary receiver for like the Bears, you know, he could be a serious option or something. A good keeper, with that in mind. But this year he may be just too much of a question mark to get anything done.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
you know, she's got a decent match and she's trying to make moves at the deadline for once, apparently.
And she doesn't love trading. I feel like she's being dragged kicking and screaming into into this change that her husband brought upon her.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, she's got to stand by her man, and you know what? She can be the Tammy Wynette of the league, and I appreciate her for sticking up for me earlier in the year on a podcast. So I stick up for her, and I put her in third.
I love it. I love it. Siblings getting along.
It's weird, huh?
I'm not used to it.
Number four, I do have D. I kept her in the top five here. I know she's two in the standing. She's 5-2. She's gotten here this far, and good for her. I got her 50% odds to make the playoffs, 5% to win glory. Still got LeSean McCoy. He's probably not a keeper next year. Rodgers, I think that's probably not a keeper too. I didn't check on those, but... I think the sentiment here is that her team's probably going to get blown up after this year.
Yeah, and she's one of the more interesting teams for me coming out of next year, because you're right. Rodgers, she can actually keep in the first, and I think she's going to, but she cannot keep Jordy Nelson or LeSean McCoy.
Mm-hmm. Another person who's been, I think, mentioned earlier in the year that in the podcast that she was sort of against trading because I think some people tried to take advantage of her early on. And so she said, no, I know what I'm getting taken advantage of. So I'm just going to kind of shut it off a little bit. So I get respect for that because she's been able to keep a good team under her belt.
Yeah. She's the winningest team in our league's history.
For sure. And I hope it doesn't change. You know, I love to see a good dynasty or dynasty if that's the case. Number five, Ryan. Ooh. Decent team. His season has ended numerous times, but he's got Deshaun Watson. And because of that, I've got him at 50% odds to make playoffs, 5% to win glory, just because if your QB gets you 30, you'll beat most teams straight up. Yeah. And he's been getting 30, nearly every week since he got good.
It's a good point. I mean, Galligan sold, but he is 4-3 and, couple more wins and he's looking like he has a good shot.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot separating you two, I think, between your teams with some star power and making a lot of moves, but just, you know, luck goes one way and does not go the other way, I think. I've got Sween at number six, 40% odds to make playoffs, 4% to win glory. He's got three tight ends and they've all had decent or awesome week this week. And I think that goes a long way because there's been a total dearth at the tight end position this year. Super hard to get a tight end, by the way. That's one of the questionable moves in the league history to me. more of a hindsight move, but I knew right away when it happened that it was going to screw me, because I was just starting to get okay with my team and have some valuable keepers with the folklore. And then we introduced the permanent tight end position, the mandatory tight end, and I didn't have one. And someone had like three, like Gronk, Julius Thomas, and like a Mercedes Lewis or something.
I feel like it was Winna, but that point in the league when we changed to having a permanent tight end and we were still allowing people to keep tight ends, that was one of the points when I was like, ugh, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
Which I've had a lot of, admittedly.
I was just going to say, I was like, I'm trying to remember which one that was. Number seven, remember. I got you, man.
I'm
riding high.
Oh, yeah. 2-5.
I got you. I actually got you at 50% odds to make playoffs, 5% to win glory, because not only are you kind of fixing your keeper situation up a little bit, you're pulling in some star power, got to move in for Dez. I think you could win glory if you make the playoffs. Like, you just need certain players to start hitting at the right times. You're Dez Bryant. And I'm hopeful for you, man. I'm hopeful for everyone. But
I appreciate
you.
It. I feel like I don't deserve it, but I do appreciate it.
I respect your nihilistic approach too. It creates a great narrative for the folklore. Plus, I did text you in my sleep last year, so
I know
I've got some kind of affinity.
I do feel that bond even now.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people have ever texted me like that.
Yeah, totally out of the blue. Number eight, I got Weber at 40% odds to make playoffs, 1% to win glory. So I do think he's going to get there, but I just think it's kind of a mediocre team, like a middle-of-the-road team that's not going to produce a ton of high-point games to win glory. Just not a lot to love about the team. He's here because he's won so far. He's got Breeze, okay, Gurley, doing great, yes. I just don't know if the rest of his team will put enough points on the board.
He's also suffering from injuries, which is not helping. Like he already has some shallow. He's shallow at the wide receiver, and Devontae Parker's out, and Mike Wallace has been suffering from injuries, and he's counting on Mike Wallace to begin with. You know,
mm-hmm.
Scary.
Sure, I've got me at number nine.
Okay,
and you know, I'm not trying to go over the top and fawn myself. I got 20% odds to make playoffs. I don't really think it'll happen this year, 8% to win glory, just because if it happens, oh, it's going, I'm all in, you know?
Yeah.
I'm making some subtle moves. I'm trying to balance the future value versus the star power, try not to lose too much star power. Scrappy team. It's always been a scrappy team. The optimal lineup this week scored 122. So if I just started Derek Carr, I would have looked a lot better than if Carson Palmer, you know, didn't get hurt and whatnot.
Didn't break his arm.
Yeah. It's like I've had a couple head scratching moves, a couple toss up moves in my history that have just been similar mismanagement moves where I don't think I'm a bad manager. Like earlier this year on the podcast, you and Tim, it was like the first one. I think you and Tim went back and forth on me keeping LeGarrette Blount. Not the best move, but I will say I agonized over that decision. I had like spreadsheets going, and I determined that Blount, it was like a very money ball move. I'm like, you know, he's a scrappy veteran. He's going to get the touches. It was like the week that he received the starter job because Sproles was out. And so I'm like, you know what? He might actually sneaky get a lot of points. And, you know, I wasn't totally up on the keeper system and didn't realize like, okay, a fifth round keeper is really got to be good only this year. But you know, I mean, it turned out to be an okay move. I cut bait on him earlier in the season, after a couple okay weeks, but, you know, he's also not a PPR running back. So that was my mistake in that whole thing. But you know, I can go back to the Tony Romo move. What was that? Like last year, when I ended up keeping Tony Romo over Matt Ryan again, agonized over it, mm-hmm. Made this money ball move, where I had, you know, I'm like, Tony Romo's got a better O-line and I think a slightly better team to play behind, so I'm going to go with Romo over Matt Ryan. Next day, Tony Romo explodes his shoulder or whatever, career's done, and I made the wrong move. Matt Ryan went on to be MVP. So, you know, it's like these little moves that are the toss-ups that are the ones I agonize over usually end up being the wrong decision, so I got to figure something out there.
Yeah, I have the same thing. Anything I think about for more than like 5 seconds, it just goes wrong.
Right. Sometimes you just gotta pull the trigger.
Yeah, maybe from now on, I make your decisions and you make mine. You know?
Yes, it just like we'll text each other in the middle of the night, and then we'll just get a decision made like that overnight in our sleep. And number 10, I got Stevie. 10% odds to make playoffs, 1% to win. He's got very little star power on his team. Again, I think that's what it takes to win a championship. I don't know what Stephon Diggs' outlook is. Carson Wentz, I have written down here, is I don't know what his outlook is. And then he totally proved me wrong last time. I mean, he's a...
He seems like he's going to be a great keeper for Stevie for sure. Going forward. But he definitely cost Stevie a lot last year. So I'm glad it's working out.
Yeah, it was, you know, you got to go all in sometimes. I got Tim at 11. He's got 10% odds to make playoffs, 1% to win it all. Not all bad for him. You know, we were talking a little bit of trade today and, you know, looking at his team, Cooper's getting hot. Amari Cooper's getting hot at the right time. He's got Julio Jones. He's got Gronk. And I'm convinced that a tight end, you know, I read one article probably 3 years ago that said you should always draft Gronk like as early as you have to draft him to get him because, you know, having a tight end that can produce is so much better, so important because as you see this year, I mean, it's him, Ertz, and maybe one or two others that are, you know, really, really phenomenal. Obviously, injuries, you know, is it worth it if you have to miss a few weeks of a tight end production? But I truly do think it is important to have, but, you know, I think with Tim's team, having some trouble this week, this year in particular.
Yeah, just not against me, because no one has trouble against me.
Of course. I got Trevor bringing up the rear in last place. I got him at 5% to make playoffs, 0% to win it all. I just, it's an okay team, kind of poor depth for the whole team. I'm curious about how his team will do next year as well, you know, who he keeps or if he really ends up keeping much of it, anything at all. And I've never even heard of his kicker. So, I just can't stand by that.
Yeah. I mean, that's an easy 12 then.
Right. That was the first thing was I just looked at everyone's kickers. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I like them. I mean, they're not quite what I would do, but they're close. And I think you have the tiers correct, but I think the bottom tier is just so jam packed that anything can change week to week.
It'll be very interesting to see. You know, I was trying to take it into account on where people will go from here, but with the trades and the matchups, I think is where everything's going to get totally haywire.
Yeah, and I think this past week when Galligan and Stevie played, they're both 3-3. Both had sold off their teams. I think that win is going to be huge for Galligan, and I think Stevie absolutely needed it to make the playoffs. So
totally.
All right, so let's switch gears here. I think I want to do something similar to what I did when D was on the podcast, ask you some questions. I feel like we as in our league, might not know you as well as we know some of the other members. So
yeah, sure.
So let's delve deep into into Devin McGarry.
He's like my therapist.
All right, so I'm bringing back a few questions that I asked of D. Some of the questions I enjoy asking, they might make you a little bit uncomfortable. They might make some enemies, but honestly, I need some heat on someone that isn't me. So who would you consider your biggest rival in this league?
Well, I think it's tough because I think me and my sister have a very friendly rivalry for whatever reason. I think head to head, she's got me beat most of the time too. And my mom hates it. That's her worst weeks is when we have
actually
head-to-head matchup.
Yeah, now that you mention it, did you guys just play? You just beat
her,
we
right? did, I think, last week. I beat
okay,
her.
So you are at, let's look. I have the spreadsheet open. Here's Marissa. You're actually leading 6-5 all time.
Of course I am. Why wouldn't I be?
Of course.
You know, it's fun to play spoiler every now and then.
All right.
So. Otherwise, you know, I can't think of who else it would have, you know, I have a huge rivalry with. Maybe like maybe Steve. I don't know.
Just your brother-in-law?
Yeah, you know, I think everyone's gunning for him always, just as commissioner, as the Kim Jong-un of our league, so to speak.
All right, absolutely. Question number two. If you could boot one player from this league, who would it be and why?
I don't know. I'm always a little concerned about all the communist stuff from D. You know, she could be a spy. I never know.
Better safe than sorry.
You know, what kind of, is she like trying to rig the league? You never know. I mean, she is in second place mysteriously this year. So
yeah, because we all share our bad performances with her.
You're right. She's definitely a spy.
Definitely. Speaking of Webbers, I have a listener submitted question from one Matthew Weber.
Man, hey, how you doing, man? Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah. So he wants to know, speaking particularly about this year's draft, true or false, you were drunk.
Hold on, I got a beer right here, so I need to take a sip and think.
Okay, all right. It helps me think, too.
You know, I was drinking, okay, for sure. I wasn't that drunk. Okay. You know, I tried to play it up a little bit. Yeah, I was at a bar. Yeah, I was drinking. But I kind of played it up a little bit because of, like, I make a terrible decision, at least I've got
let's have fun.
Oh, guys, it was cool. I was drunk at the draft.
Yeah. Where were you? He also asks.
It was a great bar in Burlington called the Growler Garage, where they have like all kinds of beers from all over the country, some local ones, and you can like fill up growlers to go from there too. So great spot. Highly recommend it. I was playing a gig that night there. We had these Wednesday night gigs that ended up getting extended that day. And so that, yes, I was the one who asked to maybe push it forward a half hour, so that it wasn't starting right when I was wrapping up.
You have quite the history of pushing things forward a half hour.
I do. Well, this one, at least the podcast was earlier in time.
Follow-up question from Weber. How does it feel to be a hippie as you're a resident of Vermont?
It's great. You know, I mean, I'm a permanent now. I've got a house. I pay taxes, man.
Ugh, tell me about
it. The burn up here pretty hard, so just a lot of bacitracin and cortisone and stuff to try to keep that in check, aloe and whatnot. But I went for a hike on Sunday. That was terrible.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
That's how it feels.
You're supposed to watch football.
Trying to pretend. I actually brought granola. I was just trying to pretend to be a local.
Oh, crunchy, got it. How do you feel about Weber as a person?
Weber, he's cool.
You think?
He's quite the history buff. I think he's a nice guy. I don't get all the Weber hate, personally.
Yeah, who cares? it's just easy, you know? He's a target.
Right.
So who of all your players, and I'm completely changing gears now, sure. who's disappointed you the most this season?
This season... I've had like the whole tight end position has just dogged me forever. So Tyler Eifert was a very frustrating, you know, the fact that he can't even take the field ever.
Yeah. He's always like maybe I'll play, and he doesn't play for 6 weeks straight.
Right. Golden Tate is great. As great as a keep as I think he was, as well as I've kind of been able to predict his rises and falls, you know, he's obviously got hurt right after he had a great game. And so that's been kind of frustrating, but I think it all falls on Nick Folk's shoulders. I mean,
yeah,
Nick Folk can't even stay on a real team. So that's always tough,
wow,
especially to keep on your roster. At least he's an IR spot this year and not just a guy I have to keep on my bench.
Yeah. It is nice. Like you and D, you both have mascots and they're both on the IR spot. I mean, they're not taking up a space. They're just there just to, you know, root you on.
It's like I was rooting for him to get hurt, and I hate to do that, but, the worst thing that anyone could do right now is sign Nick Folk and take him off the IR.
It's so disheartening to hear you say that.
Well, he's a great spiritual leader, terrible player, terrible kicker, but great spiritual leader. And at some point, you know, maybe now when he's no longer in the league, he may have to pass the torch at some point, but... That's really the mystery of the Nick folklore on the whole, is what's going to happen next.
Yeah, that's a big question for me.
Sometimes I keep people waiting a whole year to find out what happens next.
I was going
to
say, we only have one post this year. What's going on?
Yeah, so far. Okay, you know, there's always more to come. You know, I think everyone thought I was going to talk about kneeling and Trump and all the things that are going on in the world. And I might, you know, I always take from real life. And what, I mean, one thing I've learned about long form creative writing for fantasy football forums is when people expect you to zig, you zag. And when people expect you to zag, you sign another kicker. So that's really the point I want to get across. And there's a lot of avenues to cover this year. So I am excited to hopefully bring some more folklore to the forums.
And don't worry, dear listeners, we will talk the folklore again. I just want to ask a few more questions and then we're going to delve real deep.
Totally.
All right. All right. So I asked this question of Dee as well. Who are your five favorite fantasy players of all time?
I've always loved Doug Martin.
Doug Martin.
Always been there for me when I needed him. I didn't keep him this year kind of on another money ball move. I just felt like I couldn't hold him for the whole suspension at the round that he was valued at the time, which was higher. I think I want to say like four.
Yeah, that's rough.
So it was a tough keep. I've always loved Matty Ice, you know, and it was, again, tough to let him go last year, you know, right when he got really good.
We could talk.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad he's doing well for you. Lamar Miller, I've always liked him for some reason, even though he's always been like a criminal underperformer. I've always liked him a bit. I want to say Dez Bryant, but he's always been hit or miss for me. I like Gold Tate 90% because I think he's underrated, 100% because his name is so good.
It is. I don't know if you remember, but I used to be the Golden Tate Warriors.
I do remember that. Yes, it was excellent. Excellent pun. And then, of course, Nick Folk. So Nick Folk's good.
I was a little scared that you weren't going to say him. And I was just like, what the fuck is real anymore?
He's my favorite fantasy coach, for sure.
Who were the three namesakes?
The three namesakes were Nick Folk.
Of course.
me, which was the floundering Devins, was because this was like the first year, I believe, of the folklore.
It was.
My first year in the league. So I was the Nick Folklore to start. And then at one point, it wasn't like, didn't feel like it was catching on. It was maybe a superstition thing. I changed the name to the floundering Devins because Steve mentioned in like the weekly recap, Devin was floundering in whatever, like last place or whatever I was in. And so I renamed my team the Floundering Devins. And then I actually started winning, I think. And I think the last one was 8 == D, with the squiggly lines of semen going onto P. Manning. I think that was the third namesake. No, you know what it was? It was Greg Jennings.
Yeah.
Greg Jennings was because that video had just come out. He was the third one. And 8 == D came afterwards as like a omniscient third presence. It was very meta, and really, you know, I wish that those early posts of folklore weren't gone forever.
So you do not have those saved in your fancy Google Doc?
I don't. It just starts in the middle of that season, which was so frustrating.
Well, if you had like committed a murder and then admitted to it in those posts, I'm sure the government would pay money to get them back.
I know. Right, I know, like some tech person somewhere, I have to someday, I'll like pay a lot of money to be able to
let's crowdfund it.
Yes, that is a great idea.
all right. So this is a more general question. Why Nick Folk?
Love is hard, is a very interesting thing. You know, I mean, I got married this year, so I obviously, I feel a lot of love in my life now. And, you know,
that's beautiful.
I think with a guy like Nick Folk, it's more than just kicking field goals. It's more than just missing extra points. It's like, you know, there's a certain strength, a certain, you know, something that comes with it that I can only describe as love. So. You know, yeah, I probably just drafted him as my kicker that first year and knew that it was a guy that I was going to keep the entire year. So I did and named the team after him. But I'd like to think it's something more than that.
It's definitely more now. I mean, you've made it more.
Yeah, I went through some tough times where, I mean, I rostered three kickers at one point and I don't think any of them were actually injured. So It was some tough times, some good times, you know, some big wins, some shock wins, and I'm glad he was there for a lot of them.
I hope one day, and it makes me nervous that Nick Folk will never play again, but I want you to win a championship with Nick Folk on your team.
It would be so special to me.
He's obviously one of the top two or three most important players in our league's history.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's the one constant, I think, other than D having Aaron Rodgers forever. But
it's true. That's one of the.
It was amazing. I think, to my knowledge, I think Steve was the first person to ever have him on his roster, other than me, since I've been in the league, and I didn't even know that he had him on his roster until like week two or three, like after he signed him, and then he got canned. And I was like, which thankfully he did. You know, I think he threw the match with the Bucks so he could come back to the folklore so that Steve would cut him. It was all part of the plan.
It was nice. Okay. Why do you think your team name gets parodied so often?
Well, you know, we roast because we love. So I think that's got to be what it is. You know, there's obviously some, they hate us because we anus in there as well.
All right.
You know, maybe it's an anti-gay thing. I don't know.
Probably.
I there could be some homophobes in the league that we don't know about.
All right. So I want you now to rank the four parodies from worst to best that I could remember.
Okay.
I'm sure there've been more, but let's run them down and then you give them a quick power ranking. The Sick Folklore, which you just did. The Nick Foles lore. The Brett Favre lore, and then the Nick Folk four.
Okay, so number one is the Nick Foles lore. That was a good run, and that was actually, you know, I think there was a kinship between them too. It was tough to see Nick Foles go down somehow before Nick Folk did in his career. And that was a good team name. You know, it's obviously really cool because they were so uniquely similar names. So I appreciated that. Number two, I think the Nick Folk four was second. I don't really remember why it was the Nick Folk four though.
So
I know it was you just trying to parody names.
Yeah, it was just me. I was parodying every team's name at that point. And
yeah.
I don't know. I found this picture of like a barbershop quartet and they were green. And I was like, all right, I'll go with this.
It was, you know, I'm glad you put the effort in every week. It gets you a long way, gets you very far in life as a good name. So,
all right.
I do like that one. I think number three was the Brett Favre lore. And, you know, obviously it doesn't really, there's some lore that, there, I guess.
Come
but
on.
There wasn't.
Come on. That's number three. I'm trying not to get too heated, but that's one of the worst team names I've ever seen.
It was awful, but the Sick Folklore I put last just because I didn't develop it. I thought about it, but I was like, I can't just jump in with this new, you know, cooler, edgier Nick Folklore, you know, being sicker.
But. I don't know. I feel like this latest edition of the Nick Folklore, the Civil Reunion, was, I think, edgy, but clear something up for me. It ends with the newlyweds engaged in intercourse. What do you mean intercourse? Like, what does that mean in that context?
They like to have sex a lot.
Okay,
that was really, it was pretty straightforward.
Because
you know, I
really thought it was like conversation.
No.
No.
I like to leave it up to interpretation.
This changes a lot.
Yeah, they were doing it a lot this episode.
Okay, all right. Do you think that continues? Is there strife on the horizon, or is it just smooth sailing?
Well, you know, I'll peek into the future a little bit. You know, I like to take from real life, and I think what's gonna may find its way in this week would be the fog. Because, you know, I like to allude to real life and also to the past and bring back old things that no one remembers at all from the folklore. And you may remember the pink fog was a terrible thing that was a theme for like an entire season. And it didn't get wrapped up. And so I'm thinking with the, all the fog that was at the Patriots game this week, it may work its way in again this week.
All right. Well, I'm very much looking forward to that. But let's look back.
Sure.
So what we're going to do here, and it might be pretty quick, I'm going to read, eight different, sections of past folklore.
Okay.
I'm going to leave one word out and I want you to fill in the blank based on your memory.
Great. I love it.
Okay. All right. So in no order, here's the first little section. Let's show our blanks that we've got courage. Let's suit up for battle, boys. Nick Folk.
I'm trying to, that's tough. Is it enemies?
Close. It's demons.
Demons. Oh, right. That was a good theme. That was good.
Yeah. He's a little more colorful with his language. He likes, like, enemies is a little, I don't know, blasé.
It's a little dark, but I mean, nothing compared to the what's it, Fail Sons manifesto.
Oh, my God. That's going to make me jump off a bridge.
Right. I know. I mean, yeah. I mean, we've all read it. I mean, I haven't. I read 1 week and then reported it to the FBI or Homeland Security. But otherwise, you know, I mean, it's dark and it hasn't really gotten less dark.
It is weird. It's like, come on, Steve, you're killing it. You got a 40% chance at glory. Why are you so dark and like jaded? And anyway, second line of the folklore. 50 blank of blank went on to become the smash hit of the summer.
I know one of them is definitely gay. It's the second one.
It is okay.
Is it 50? It's not. I wouldn't have said 50 AIDS of gay, would I?
You definitely would, because it's 50 AIDS of gay.
All right. Okay. I mean, it was not me. It was Nick. It was just.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
I'm just a conduit. You know.
Of course. All right. So you're one for two. Kading bolted down the tunnel and wheeled off into the North Jersey sunset to lift and blank with some buddies of his in Belmar. Sorry.
So was it lift and tan?
It is tan. That is two for three.
It was very early on in the folklore.
Okay. All right. So here's a quote. Shit, them blanks can ball. But I put the team on my back, do. Fuck it. Cross the plane into the bathroom, pants down, Greg Jennings.
Yes, that was a great Greg Jennings quote, talking about himself in the third person and referring to, I believe, a team that was at the time, maybe the Crimean interception. He said, them Nazis can ball.
He did say them Nazis can ball. All right, three for four. Wow, you're killing it.
I know myself.
Yeah, well, you know Nick.
Yeah.
All right. Suspense loomed over Sunday's games. What would come of Folk's decision to welcome blank into the locker room?
Wow. I know it was like a, I don't think it was a specific player. Maybe it was like a player's last name who referred to something. That one I don't know.
All right, it is not a specific player. It's based on like a rule that he's now allowed something into the locker room that players might enjoy, but might necessarily help win a game. It's vague. I don't think you're gonna get it. It's snacks.
Snacks. Oh, right, the Rex Ryan era, right? Because he was still very much a part of. You know, sometimes I forget that he was totally the apple of Rex Ryan's eye at that point with his foot fetish.
Yeah. All right, so you're three for five. Let's number six. You think you're so great, don't you, with your giant fucking helmet and your number one blank lapel pin?
That is definitely referring to Nate Kading. Is it number one kicker?
I wish. It's number one foot.
Foot. I was going to say that.
Number one foot. Sorry. All right. So you're three for six. Home stretch. Two more. Listen, if there's anyone who doesn't think I run shit around here, I've got a broken in blank with your leg's name on it, warned Folk.
Crowbar.
Four of seven. Let's do
a lot of use.
Let's do this. One last one. All right. Ha ha ha.
Coming for you, Glory.
Ha ha ha. I get it. You're the Buffalo Bill killer from Silence of the Lambs, said Nick, doing his best blank impression for his Jersey-inspired costume.
Mangina?
Mangina? Where did that come from? That is incorrect. but closer than you might think, Snooki. Snooki impression.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
I think back then, the Jersey Shore was still relevant.
It was, yeah, I guess so. And he was from Jersey, so, yeah. Wow.
All
right. Really off the deep end then.
Yeah, so before
well, 500 ain't bad.
No, not at all. And before we move on to predicting the matchups, any other memories or favorite moments you want to share about the folklore?
You know, I just, there's been some times when I've been writing this that, you know, I couldn't keep a smile off my face, because I'm, you know, the excitement of the story continues, and, you know, and that's true. I just think in general, it's more of an off the field thing for me. Like, know that I always want to compete. I never like being in the basement. And for many years, I was right in the middle of the pack in the NIT or whatever. And, you know, I've fallen off in recent years, but know that the story is always continuing. And that I do get great satisfaction in making these kickers make out.
So
I guess I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. All right. Okay. And on that note, let's get to the matchups. And I will warn that I do not have I can probably find it. I didn't pull the historical records against because we rushed this podcast. Let's start with the matchup between your rival and the player that you'd boot from this league. D versus Marissa play again. Who you got here?
Well, I mean, D's at a tough juncture here, kind of a crossroads. I don't really think this is a tough bye week, but it seems to be maybe for Marissa. I know her quarterback is currently out, so she's going to have to roll out Matt Stafford. You know what? I think that in that head-to-head, Roethlisberger versus Stafford, I think Roethlisberger's got it. So I'm actually going to go with D to keep
D
on rolling here.
Wow. So you were nice to your sister until now.
Yeah, you know, I think she'll give him hell, and maybe it'll be different if we can get a trade going and maybe she'll have some help. But as the lineups stand now, I think that D is going to win.
All right. Well, I'm picking Marissa here, but D does lead the matchup 9-6 all time.
All right.
So next matchup we have Tim versus Sweeney.
He doesn't actually play in Trubisky, is he? No, he's got Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see who gets the targets between Gronk and Cooks as they're going head to head. I like to see LeGarrette Blount succeed, man. He's just been rolling with consistent like 12-point games. So
and
I think I'm going to go with Sweeney.
Okay. So yeah, Blount does play the 49ers, which is nice. This matchup 3-3 all time. I think I'm going Tim here. I'm going with the hot hand. I picked him last week to beat me, and he crushed me. So let's see it again.
Julio Jones. Can't tough to bet against Jones and Gronk there.
All right, so we're disagreeing again. Next
yep.
matchup, Katie versus Trevor.
Well, I said I liked Katie's team. I also kind of said I didn't like Trevor's team, so I guess I'll just stick with that and, go chalk in this one.
All right. And so Trevor actually leads this 4-3 all time. Looks like – so Katie right now is barely favored. Leonard Fournette's on a bye. But I'll agree with you here. I'll take Katie.
I think it depends. You know, Tom Brady actually, he does really well against the Chargers. and it's at home. So I think that he'll lead the way for her. Maybe he has some trouble.
All right, here's a very personal matchup for you. You versus Gal again.
Yeah, you know, it's looking like it might be a kind of, again, a defining game for the season. And, I got a couple. I'm going to be getting rid of, shipping out Dez Bryant. And got a couple of young studs coming in, and we'll see if they can fill the void. I got to pick myself, I guess.
You know what? I'm going to agree here. I think you're going 4-4. Galligan, you're right, has Deshaun Watson, but he doesn't have much else. Deshaun Watson's going against Seattle. So I'll play your game and say the Nick Folklore, they're winning. I don't know if I said it. I probably did. This matchup's 4-4.
We appreciate it.
4-4 all time. All right. So next matchup, Steve versus Stevie.
Oh.
So Stevie is 36-point underdog right now.
Steve E. Stanvik. The E is for Ezekiel Elliott. So
of course.
As long as he's playing, I think he's gonna win.
Yeah. And I think he definitely is playing. We'll see about week 9 though. So I got Steve here as well. Steve actually leads this matchup 9-3 all time, so that's pretty dominant.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally my matchup, me versus Weber. Weber, let me remind you, is without Davante Adams and Todd Gurley. So he's currently starting both Atlanta running backs against me.
Well, that's wild. That is just a wild thing to do. But you've got, he had some good questions for me. I appreciate that. But you got Jay Ajayi with God knows what's going on in that offense, going against Baltimore, who lets up a decent amount of running yards. And, if they're dumping it off to Ajayi in the backfield, I think he's going to be pretty much a 3-down back, from here on out. They'll probably overwork the crap out of him. So I think you're going to get big games from him for the rest of the game. Kareem Hunt is, when he's on, and I think he's had one or two stinkers. No, he's been amazing every game. If you're going to get 20 out of him and 20 out of Ajayi, I think you're looking good. So I'm going to go with you.
So I hate picking my team, but I literally have to win here. Like if I don't win, my season's essentially over. So my pick is just a kind of a hope in a dream, but I'm picking me as well.
I hope I win. I love it.
I hope I win. All right, Devin. Let me just say that your voice is perfect. Like I watched like all the, I don't even know what you call it. I watched the recording and my voice goes all over the place and yours is just this perfect line. I thought that like my recording software was broken.
No, I'm that good.
You are great.
I'm trained. I get paid very small amounts of money just to be able to do that. So, hey, that's what happens when you bring Radio DJ on your podcast there.
I know. It was a little humbling though, because it's like, fuck, why?
Well, my coworkers are not going to be happy because, podcasts are maybe slowly putting us out of business. But
This one certainly is not.
But the people who do listen to the whole thing religiously every week. So that is all that matters.
Yeah. Well,
time spent listening, TSL.
All right.
You got it.
Well, it's 8:33. You told me you wanted to do an hour. I feel like you have a movie you want to go watch. So
you're going to watch Baby Driver because Steve, requires that we review a bunch of movies every year. I got to get some 2017 movies done before I embarrass myself again.
Yeah, that's an admirable pursuit. So anyway, Devin, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
I think this was one of the better podcasts, and that's putting everyone else on blast, but I'm going to say it.
I hope so. And you know what? I look forward to the next ones.
All right. Thanks again.
Keep it real. One love.